Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the very top of Daf Mem. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the side, at the margin, Nosei Mivneh, the topic heading and structural note, where we feature a double underline, which is one of our series markings, and we indicate here that these are Deos Be'inyan Hefsik, the Bain, Birkas HaMoisi Utima Sapas. What would constitute an interruption between the recitation of the brocha over bread and the actual tasting of the bread? It goes without saying that we strive to have the brocha completed and connected with the actual eating without any interruption. Would there be a situation of some type of speech? Interruption is generally associated with some type of speech or comment that would not constitute an interruption, even though you're finishing the bracha and speaking and not immediately eating the bread. So let us take a look at the Gemara. As we said, you will see a series of opinions on this matter. Omar Rav, toil bruch, eino tzorach levorech. If someone made a brocha on bread and sliced the bread, and before he ate the bread that he sliced, he handed a piece to someone sitting next to him and said to him, take a piece of the bread over which we made a brocha. So he says, take the bread. That's tol bruch, is essentially take a piece of the bread that we made a bracha over. So that comment is not an interruption, and if that's what the Gemara means when it says Eino Tzorach Levorech, you don't have to repeat the bracha. The Rashi at the top, Tul Bruch Habotzea Koidem Shetoam in Apusa, the one who split the bread, who cut the bread before he actually tasted from it, Botza Mimeno, he broke off another piece, Vahoshit Lami She'etzlo, and he handed it to the one sitting next to him, and he said, Tul Miprusas HaBrocha, take from the piece of bread over which the brocha was made. Afapi She'soch Beintayim, even though he spoke, the actual one who made the brocha spoke before tasting it, Ein Tzorach Las Levorech, and he doesn't have to make a brocha again. In general, speech between a brocha and an execution of whatever constitutes an interruption. As the Gemara says, if a person made a brocha on his tefillin shel yad, on the tefillin he places on his arm, and before placing tefillin on his head, he spoke, interrupted, he has to make the brocha again. And likewise with someone who made a brocha over covering the blood of the slaughter of chickens, of birds, and before he actually covered the blood with the dust, he spoke. So that would mean he'd have to make the brocha again. Hach sicha tzorech brocha velo mifsika. The sicha, the speech here, where he indicated to the fellow next and take a piece of bread over which we made the bracha, is talking that is part of the, it's necessary for the bracha. In other words, it's necessary to draw the attention of the person sitting next to you to eat from the bread over which the bracha was recited. So that does not constitute an interruption. However, the Gemara goes on to say, Havei melach, havei lifton, bring the salt, or bring the lifton. Lifton is a type of dip, something that you eat together with the bread. If you say that before tasting the bread, namely after you made the bracha, you said, Hamotzi lechem in oretz, and then you said, before eating, you said, bring the salt. Tzorech levarech, that would constitute an interruption, and you have to make the bracha again. Rabbi Yochanan amar, filu haviu melach, haviu lifton, nami ein tzorech levarech. As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, that type of request does not constitute an interruption. And Rashi explains the reason being is that he says bring the salt so that the so that the prusa shel bracha, so that the piece over which the bracha was made will be eaten with a taste, with good taste. So it improves the bread over which the bracha was made. So you see a connection between his speech and the bracha, hence it doesn't constitute an interruption. However, gavol l'turi, tzorech l'varech, if after making the bracha, before tasting the bread, the person said, mix some water for the animal feed. The turi are oxen. Govil is to mix water in the bran that you're going to serve the animals. So that would be an interruption. Rav Sheshes Amar Afilu Govil Turi Nami Eno Tzorech Levarach. If after a person made his bracha on the bread before tasting it, he said, "Hey, what about the animal feed? Mix the water for the animals and the animals with the and the water and the bran for them." Rav Sheshes says, "Eino tzorech levarach." So you might ask, well, how is that connected to the bracha and the eating that the man needs to do? The Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav, also Adam Shiochal Kodem Shiteng Machol LeBehemto. It is forbidden for a person to satiate himself, to feed himself before he has fed his animals. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'nasati Esav b'Sodecha LeBehemtecha." And it says that the Almighty provides food for the animals, and then you shall eat. So you see in the order of eating, animals first, so that if you hadn't prepared food for your animals, and now you're about to eat, you really can't eat unless the animals are fed. So that the feeding of the animals, in effect, gives you license to eat, so it's not at all an interruption. You having made the bracha, you really can't eat until the animal feed is prepared for them. We continue in the Gemara with a new geometric form that appears, a triangle, series marking, and under the Mivneh heading, we indicate that these are Memros Shel Rova Bar Shmuel. As you can plainly see, these are comments made by Rova Bar Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Chia. The Gemara, Omar Rova Barav Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chia, he says, in the name of Rabbi Chia, Ein Habotzea Rashi Liftzoa Ad Shioviu Melach Oliftan Lifnei Kol Echad Ve'echad. The one who is breaking the bread, he's not allowed to break the bread. He's not allowed to make the bracha and serve the bread until every participant has in front of them access to salt or the lifton, the accompanying dip. Rava Bar Shmuel Iklo Lebe Resh Galusa. Rava visited the house of the head of the Jewish diaspora community, the exilarch, Afiku Le Rifta. They served Rava Bar Shmuel some bread, Ubatsa Le Hedya, and he immediately made the bracha and broke the bread without waiting for the bringing of the salt or the lifton. Amru Le, so they asked him, Hadar Mar Mishmaitse, have you reversed your teaching? In other words, we know that you have taught that a bracha over bread is not to be made until the salt is present. And here you went ahead, made the bracha, broke the bread, and didn't wait for the salt. Amar Lahu, so he answered, the question is, Les Dain Tzorech Bishash. This bread doesn't need any delay. In other words, this bread is good tasting, clean quality bread, and it doesn't need anything to accompany it, which ordinary bread in the time of the Gemara, ordinary bread was not of this high quality, needed enhancements. But this doesn't need, Bishash means delay, it doesn't need any delay, and therefore I'm not reversing my teaching. I said that you need to have salt or lifton in order to enhance bread that needs enhancement. The Gemara continues, Omar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chia, Ein Mei Raglayim Kolim Ela B'Yeshiva. When a male urinates, he won't finish the urination. In other words, the urine within his system won't come out completely unless he does so in a seated position. In a seated position, what benefit does that serve him? In a standing position, a person is afraid that the final droplets, this urine stream comes to an end, so the droplets will come, if he's in a standing position, come close to his feet. And men want to avoid having droplets accumulate on their shoes at all at all costs, so to speak. So they will withhold the final droplets of urine in their body unless they are seated, which alleviates the problem of the droplets on the shoes. Omar Rav Kano, uba'ofer tichuach afilu ba'amida. If he is relieving himself into soft dirt, so he could stand, and there will be no splashing of the droplets because it's landing directly into the soft dirt and will be immediately absorbed. So the e leka of tuchach, if a person doesn't have a place to sit and doesn't have the soft earth, yamud b'mokam gavov yashin b'mokam midron. So there remains this option for him to urinate on some type of incline where he is on a high position, and the stream will go to a drop down to a low point below the level of his feet, so he won't have this problem that we mentioned before of the final droplets splashing on his shoes. The Omar Rava Bar Shmuel Mishmeida Reb Chiya. Achar ko achilos chol melach, after all meals, after all eating, have some salt. And after all drinking, have a drink of water. And you will not be injured. That will be, in other words, this is helpful advice. Tanya Nami Hochi, a Tanaic source, supports this. Tanya Idoch, another Tanaic source, says, Achol kol ma'achol v'lo ochal melech. If a person ochal kol ma'achol, he ate any kind of food, but he didn't eat the salt. Shosukomashin will shosamayim, he drank any type of beverage, but didn't drink the water. Biyom yidag min rechapeh, uvalaylo yidag mipnei askura. So it depends. If it was by day, so he should worry about bad breath. Rechapeh would be bad breath, and at night he should worry about askura. And askura is the name of an ailment, and Rashi gives a French translation of that ailment. Tanu Rabbanan, hamikpa amakpa achilosoi b'mayim eno ba lidei chole me'ayim. Rashi explains, shoyse mayim harbe achar achiloso ad sheachiloso tzofa b'mayim. One should drink a lot of water. If one drinks a lot of water after his meal to the extent that the food is floating in his stomach, so that will save him from coming to a stomach ailment or a digestive ailment. V'kama, how much water? In other words, what's the ratio of food to water? So he says, Omrav Chista, ketone lepas. A ketone is a flask of water. We'll have to assume that there was some type of standard amount when the word ketone was used, and that was per pas, per bread. So that these are ratios that the Gemara understood, but it's giving us a frame of reference. Kiton lepas. Omar Rav Mori, Omar Rav Yochanan. We have here a series of diamonds, and on the side of the Gemara we have under the same heading the topic and the structural note. These are Maimros, Binyan, Mazon, Ubrios. These are different comments that have to do with healthful living. So Omar Rav Mori, Omar Rav Yochanan, Harogil Badoshim, Achas L'Shloshim Yom, Monea Askura Mitok Beis. So someone who is a regular with eating Adoshim, Adoshim meaning a type of bean or legume, and one who eats it once every 30 days will prevent Askura from affecting his household, from his house. Avoko Yom Olo, but we're not recommending eating the Adoshim every day. My time, what's the problem with eating them every day? Mishum de kosher l'rechapeh, because adoshim could contribute to a bad breath. The Omar Rav Mori, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, another comment of his, and he says, one who is a regular with b'chardol is often translated as mustard, once every 30 days, moneach chaloi mitzopeh, so that will restrain illness from entering his house. Aval kol yoimalava, to eat chardol every day, no. My taima, why not? Mishum de kasha lechusha leliva, because chardol could have a negative, could create weakness of the heart. Omar Rav Chiya Barashi, Omar Rav, agrogil bedong tanim eino bon de choli mayim. Person who is a regular in eating small type fish will save himself from stomach ailments. And And not only that, but small fish have a very healthful element to them, that they cause a person's body to regenerate itself, to be healthful. That's a paraphrasing the term of the Gemara. Omar Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina, Horogil beketzach, eino bo lidech keiv leiv. Rashi has on the one hand, he translates the word, and then he says that he feels that it's something else other than what he translates, and it's rather a type of a spice or seed that's planted in Arabian countries. So the teaching here says, "Harokil b'tzach eino bali de kevle." Apparently, it's helpful. Nesve, the Gemara asks from a kasha from a Tanaic source of Shmuel Omer, "Ketzach echad mishishim samane amoves," describes ketzach as being one of 60 life-threatening poisons. V'hayoshein l'mizrach rono domo brosho. And one who sleeps to the east of a ketzach granary is guilty for his own demise. In other words, he's doing something dangerous. He's bringing problems onto himself. What do we see? Very clearly, how can you say that ketzach is a good thing when it's described as echol mishishim samone amoves, or sleeping in to the east of it? He's asking for his own death. The sleeping to the east of it is because the wind blowing out of the west will then blow the ketzach, some aspect of the ketzach, onto the person. Anyway, you see, ketzach is a problematic substance. Lo kashya ha bereichoi ha be'ta'amoi. It depends. If it's an issue of the reach, the scent, the smell of it is very bad. However, if it's a question of the taste, the ta'am, that is good. Imei de Rabbi Yirmiyah, afi le rifta. The mother of Rabbi Yirmiyah used to prepare bread for him. Umadvika le, umekalfa le. She would stick the ketzach on the bread so that it would absorb the ketzach taste, and then she would peel it off. Mekafale, she would peel off the ketzach from the bread so as to avoid the scent, the reach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, borei minei deshaim. We saw in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda disagreed regarding the brocha on yerokos and said, instead of saying borei priyadomo, you say borei minei deshaim. Rabbi Yehuda's brocha is more specific, deshoim referring to grasses, literally. Borei priyadomo is a very general brocha for anything that grows forth from the ground. Rabbi Yehuda, though, makes a distinction between different types of things that grow from the ground. We have seen in the past, Rabbi Yehuda would say, on things like grains, you would make borei minei zroim, seeds, because you eat them, you consume them in their seed form. With other green vegetables or other vegetables in general that are other than seed related, he would say borei minei deshoim. The Gemara, now, you'll see, has a... We've marked it with a double underline, with a design between the lines. And under our Mivne heading, we've entitled this Meimros Shel Rabbi Zeiro, Rabbi Zeiro's comments. So our Gemara continues, Omer Rabbi Zeiro, v'itemo Rav Chinino bar Popo, ein halocha k'Rabbi Yehuda. That when it comes to Yerokos, you will not follow Rabbi Yehuda, but rather will say, borei priyo adoma. V'yom Rabbi Zeiro, v'itemo Rav Chinino bar Popo, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, even though we're not ruling like him, but nevertheless the question is, what was the basis for his bracha, for his borei minei deshoim? Omar kro, Baruch Hashem yoim yoim. So the pasuk means, bless be Hashem every day. V'chi b'yoim mevorchem oisoi uvalaylo ein mevorchem oso. Are we to take the pasuk literally and come out saying that we bless him during the daytime and we don't bless him at night? So obviously that's not the understanding of the pasuk. Ela lo maloch. Rather, it comes to tell me kol mokoyim, kol yoim v'yoim, every day tain lo me'ein b'choisav. Every day you should express its unique nature in prayer form, in bracha form. Hachanami, so just like when it comes to each day getting its own unique mention, and Rashi says on that, for example, on Shabbos, Me'ein Shabbos, B'yom Tov, Me'ein Yom Tov. On Shabbos, so the text of the prayers reflects that it's Shabbos. On Yom Tov, the text reflects that it's Yom Tov. Hachanami, kol min umin, tein lo me'ein birchosov. So following that level of specificity, Rabbi Yehuda says every variety also gets its own specific bracha. Hence, he makes a distinction between vegetables and things that are seed-related. As we said before, he would make a bracha on grains. He would say borei minei zroyim. On green vegetables, he would say borei minei deshoyim. The Omar Rabbi Zera, the Itema, Rav Chinano Bar Papa, borei shalok kemidas hakodesh baruch hu midas boser v'dam. Notice the difference between the ways of the Almighty and the ways of man. Midas boser v'dam kli reikon machzik mole eino machzik. With regard to human beings, an empty vessel will hold something. In other words, you'll be able to add content to an empty vessel. You can't add content to a full vessel. However, with regard to the Almighty, the same does not apply. Mole masik, a person who is full, will contain. He will be able to contain. Reikon eino machzik, a person who is empty, he won't be able to contain. You can't fill him up. Shinemar, the pasuk that illustrates this says, Vayomer im shomoa tishma, which we understand, im shomoa, if you heard, then tishma, then you will hear more. Rashi says, "Im shomoa pam achas sovcha shetate oizen pam acheres." If you've heard in the past, in other words, you were filled up with information, you will want to hear more. Dover acher, another explanation of this pasuk in along what appears to be the similar lines, "Im shomoa biyoshon tishma bechodosh." Rashi says, "Im shomoa." Im tishma biyoshon shishoniso v'shilashto ma shishamata eshtakel. If you've reviewed a second time and a third time that which you learned last year, then you will be able to absorb new information. V'im yifne levovcha shuv lo tishma, the Gemara says. And if you turn your heart away, if you're not interested, especially when it comes to matters of review, if you approach learning in such a way that say, I'm learning, but I'm not interested in reviewing, so you won't be able to learn any further. So we show you here how, with regard to the Almighty's vessel, a person who fills himself with information, he's the kind of person who will understand more information. Someone who remains empty, though, he won't be able to be filled with information. There's a similar idea that says, Tein l'chochom v'yech kamod, give to the wise man and he will improve or he will increase wisdom. So the person who is filled with wisdom will be able to improve and increase wisdom. As opposed to the fool, he is an empty person and he obviously doesn't absorb wisdom. The Mishnah. Berach al perosu ilan, borei pri ho adomo yotza, a person who made on a fruit, on a fruit coming from trees, albeit the incorrect bracha, but he said, borei priho adama, he has fulfilled his requirement, and he can eat the fruit. He doesn't need to make a bracha again. The alperu sa'oretz, borei pruetz, if he said on vegetables, or grains, things that grow from the ground, peru sa'oretz, he said, borei pruetz, so he hasn't fulfilled, lo yotza. The alkulam, im omar shakol niyet bedvaro yotza, regarding all foodstuffs, if he mistakenly said shakol niyevizvaro, he has fulfilled his bracha requirement. Man tano di ikur ilon arohi, which tano, and we'll see a source brought in shortly with two opinions, but we're right now focusing on this issue of who is the Tana that would say that the origin or the basis or the mainstay of a tree is the ground. And that's reflected in what our Mishnah said, that if you made a bracha on pri ha'etz, on fruit from trees, you said, bori pri ha'adama, that you were yotze, that a citation of ground in the context of fruit from trees is legitimate, reflecting this idea that the ikur of the tree is the ground, so that fruit from the tree, and I make reference to ground, I'm in order. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok Reb Yehuda he. This conforms to Reb Yehuda, Disnan, and we have a Tanaic source from the realm of Bikurim. Bikurim is a type of tithe. It's the first blossoming fruits that a person has in his trees from the seven varieties that Eretz Yisrael was blessed in, and the first bloomers are brought to the Beis HaMikdash and given to a Kohen, and when he brings the fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, he's expected to recite a passage. And in the passage, in the Torah passage, he says, Min ha'adama asher nasata li, that these are the fruits from the ground that you gave me. Now, we have a Tanaic source that says, Yova shamayon v'nitzas ilon, mevi v'eino korei. If the ma'ayon is the spring that served to water his field, the source of, let's say, his irrigation source dried up, or the tree, if he had trees and the trees got cut down. In other words, after the fruit blossomed and developed, he harvested the fruit, or harvested the bikurim, the first fruits, and then the tree got cut down. So the Tanakhama says, well, under these circumstances, he brings the bikurim, the first fruits, to the Beis HaMikdash, but he doesn't read Eino Kori, he doesn't read the parsha in which he would have had to say Mino Adoma Shenasatali. But since the spring or the water source dried up or the trees got cut down, so he can't honestly say the ground that you gave me, because the ground has been rendered useless, being that there's no more irrigation source and the trees aren't growing. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Mevi V'Kor. Rabbi Yehuda says that he brings the fruits and he says the parsha because he still is holding onto the land, the ground. So we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda is the shita that says that the ground is a key element is a key and direct element in the fruits. The Gemara continues, V'al peros ha'aretz, you say, if a person on vegetables said, Bori priyo eitzu, he's not yotze. Gemara says, pshita. Of course, if you say, let's say you say on a tomato, you say, Bori priyo eitzu, or on a head of cabbage, or on lettuce, of course you're not yotze. You said something that's totally false. So the Gemara asks, what do I need the Mishnah to tell me that for? Pshita. It's obvious that if you say, Bori priyo eitzu on peros ha'aretz, you're not yotze. And we should point out, by the way, that this section of Gemara is described by our markings as a long answer. It's a tuft that you see to the immediate right-hand side of Gemara text that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, Lo Nitzrucha, Elo Rabbi Yehuda. The teaching of the Mishnah is needed especially for the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Chita min Ilon Hi, that views wheat, Rabbi Yehuda would describe wheat as a type of tree, so that Peros Haaretz will include wheat. And our Mishnah then is saying that if you made on Peros Haaretz, i.e. wheat, you said Bori Pri Ha'etz, you're not Yotze. So this is of significance. It's not so obvious with regard to Rabbi Yehuda, Desanya. And here we have a source. Ilon she'ochal mimenu Adam Harishon, the tree from which Adam Harishon ate. Now, he ate some type of, for lack of better expression, we say he ate a fruit. he ate a product of a tree. What was it? So there are several shitas in this Tanakh source, by the way, none of which says apple, but you'll have in this source, Rabbi Meir says it was a grape, Rabbi Nechemiah says it was a fig, but finally we're going to see Rabbi Yehuda says that it was a wheat grain. So the wheat is called Elon, and if that's the case, the wheat is an example of Peros Haaretz, and the term Elon is a tree. So our Mishnah is saying that if you said Borei Pri Ha'etz on something like this, on a wheat, so you would not be Yotzei, and the Chiddush is, even though Rabbi Yehuda is classifying it as a tree, so that the term Pri Ha'etz wouldn't be so far-fetched, but yet one should not say that bracha. So now the and then of course the question will be obvious that if in fact wheat is considered a tree according to Rabbi Yehuda, so then why can't you say Borei Pri Ha'etz on the wheat? And the Gemara will answer this, will deal with this on the bottom line. In the meantime, the Tanaic source, Desanya, Ilon Shochal Mimeno Odom Arishon, Rabbi Meir Omer Geffen Hoya, Rabbi Meir says it was from the grapevine. That was the tree was a grapevine. He ate from that. Shein l'chadover hamshmei v'yulolo al ha'odam. There is no substance that brings tragedy, brings destruction on a person. Elo yayin, other than wine. Shenema v'yesht min hayayin v'yishkar. It says that by Noach, it says he drank from the wine and then became drunk. So that the destruction of a person, and in the case of Odom Arishon, it led to his ultimate destruction, is a function of having consumed something related to wine, namely the Geffen. Rabbi Nechemiah Oimer Te'ino Hoysa. The Odom Arishon ate from a fig tree. This Shebedovish Neskalkluboi Niskinu. Through that which they saw their downfall, their ruination, they also were saved or fixed, repaired. Niskinu, as the Pasuk says, Shenema Vayispru Alei Teina. That Alei Teina is a fig leaf. Fig leaves were sown for them to serve as garments after they discovered that they had been unclothed in the passage dealing with Adam and Chava in the after having eaten from the forbidden tree. And what was the tree? So Rabbi Nechemiah tells you it was Teino, by virtue of the fact that that's exactly what they were provided with after their downfall. So it must be that their downfall was through that. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, and this is what we really want to focus on, Chita Hoysa, Sheina Tinok Yodea Likris Abba V'imo Ach Yitoim Tam Dogon. It's the wheat, and the tree from which they ate was called the Eitz Hadas, the tree that enabled them to distinguish between Tov V'ra. So the concept of Das is associated with the wheat tree, with the wheat grain, we should more accurately say, and that's illustrated by the fact that a child doesn't achieve knowledge or ability to distinguish, to call its mother, call its father, until it eats grain products, until it tastes the taste of grain. So their Alderman and Chava's entrance to this realm of knowledge or distinction that they now this their new level of existence is a function of their having consumed the Eitz Hadas. What we are not getting into is the story involving Adam and Chava and what was their state of mind or their state of understanding before the Aveira, before the sin, and then after the sin. That's a broad topic beyond the purview of our shiur. But there was a level of knowledge or awareness distinction that arose after having consumed whatever they ate. Now, so whatever they ate, according to Rebuta, was the chita. So now the Gemara continues. Sakadaita chamina hoyol vi omar Yehuda tchita min ilon hi. Since Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the chita is a type of tree, livrech ale borei pri ha'etz, so the appropriate bracha would have been borei pri ha'etz. Komash mlon, our Mishnah tells us, and our Mishnah reflects Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Hecha mevorchinon borei pri ha'etz, when do we make that bracha? Hecha dechishak lisle lepiri ise legavza v'hoder mapik. That is when you remove the fruit. The branch remains, and that very branch continues to produce more fruit. Actually, the next season, that same branch will continue to produce more fruit. We continue on Omid Beis. Avol hecha dechishak lislei lepiri lesei legavza dehoder mapik. However, in a case where you remove the fruit and that branch, the unit on which the fruit grew does not continue to produce fruit. So lo mevorchinon ole borei pri ha'etz ela borei pri ha'adamah. Under those circumstances, the bracha, Rabbi Yehuda also acknowledges, will concede that you say borei pri ha'adamah. So that in the case of the wheat, you might call it a tree. However, when you remove the wheat kernels from the wheat stalk, that wheat stalk doesn't continue to produce seeds during the next season. The al kulon im omar shehakol v'chule. Regarding all foodstuffs, if one said shehakol, so we saw that he will fulfill his brocha requirement and not need to say again another brocha. Itma Rav Huna omar, and we should, before going on in the Gemara, I'll just read the title of our sukya, the Nosei, HaMavorech Benusuch Sheinu Min HaMakubal. We are using a very general title to this sukya, and you'll see why soon, but one recites, we'll say, an inappropriate text as his bracha, what is the din? So, Itmar Rav Huna, Omar, Chutz Min HaPas U'minayayin. Rav Huna qualifies the Mishnah's broad license or acceptance of the shehakol, and says it is broad, but will not include bread nor wine. A shehakol bracha recited on bread or wine would be useless. Rabbi Yochanan Omar afilu pas miayin. Rabbi Yochanan is going all the way, as the text of the Mishnah would indicate, that even bread and wine is included in the bracha of shehakol. Even though bread and wine, what's unique to bread and wine is that they have the most specific type bracha of all the different birchos hananim, and even though they're in their own category, Rabbi Yochanan says, on a post facto level, if one said borei of shehakol niyabedvara on those items, he is yotze, he's fulfilled his requirement. The Gemara raises a question that says, Neimo ketanoi. As you are all well aware, when the word Neimo or Lemo or Emo appears, it's a suggestion, it's in effect a question. Can we say the following? And in most places in Shas, that is rejected. And it will be rejected here too. So, but the structure of the next section of Gemara, as you'll notice with our markings, a long question is raised. And then the answer is a long answer. As you can see, the tough few lines later, that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating all of those lines represent the answer. So now our Gemara. Neimo ketanoi. Can we say that the opinions reflected by Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan are also reflected by a machlokes tanoim? We have a Tanaic source that says, Ro'o pas, a person sees a loaf of bread and he says, Kama noe pasu, Boruch HaMokim Shebora. How beautiful is this loaf of bread? Blessed be the omnipresent, the Almighty, that created it. So if that's what he recited, Yotza, he has fulfilled his bracha requirements by using that text, and he can go ahead and eat the bread. Ro tein of Yomar, or he saw a fig, and said, Kama noe tein azu, Boruch HaMokim Shebora. How beautiful this fig is. Blessed be the omnipresent who made it. Yotza Divrei, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol HaMishanu Mimapeya Shetobu Chachomim Bavrochois, Lo Yotza Yidei Chavaso. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says anyone who varies from the form that the rabbis established for brachas has not fulfilled his requirement. So Rabbi Yossi, you can see, is very much opposing to changes in form. So Neimo Rav Huna, Diomar Rav Yossi, should we say that Rav Huna, who did not allow the shakol to include pas and yayin, will go like Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yochanan Diomar Rav Meir, and Rabbi Yochanan, who said that even though you're dealing with an incorrect bracha situation, you are Yotze, that would seem to go like Rabbi Meir, who said, saying this strange form of bracha, you are Yotze. So the question is, do the Amoraic Shitas that we just said line up with the Tanoim that we just learned? Omar Loch Rav Huna. So Rav Huna, who was one of our Amoraim, in looking at these Tanoim, he will tell you that as far as my opinion is concerned, all the Tanoim will agree with what I said. Ano di Amri, my opinion that Shakol does not cover bread and wine, will go afilu le Rebbe Meir, even according to Rebbe Meir. Ad kan lokum Rebbe Meir hasam, Rebbe Meir, who was seemingly lenient over there in the Tanaic source, elecha dekom matkir shmei depas, at least he mentioned bread over a loaf of bread, albeit he said it in an unconventional text. He said kamanoi pasu, but at least he mentioned bread in his benediction. Whereas saying shehakol on bread, which is what I addressed, you're not mentioning bread at all. So that even Rabbi Meir would see the shortcoming of shehakol over bread. Aval hecha delo komitka shmei depas, for example, where it says shehakol on a loaf of bread, afilu Rabbi Meir moda, even Rabbi Meir will concede to me, to my opinion, to my point of view, that he is not yotze. For Rabbi Yochanan omar loch, similarly, Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, Ano di Amri afilu Rabbi Yossi. My opinion is something that even Rabbi Yossi will agree with. Ad kan lo koma Rabbi Yossi hasam. Rabbi Yossi in the Tanaic source said that a person will not be Yotze using Rabbi Meir's bracha format. Elo mishum de koma bracha de lo takinu rabbonan, because he recited something that was never established by the Rabbanan. He said something that was homemade, not something established by the rabbinic authorities. Avol Omar Shiakol Yebidvoro, the Tokinu Rabbanan. But if someone said, even on bread, but he said a formal benediction that was established by the ancient rabbinic authorities, like the men of the Great Assembly, like the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, he used a formal benediction text, afilu Rabbi Yossi Moda, even Rabbi Yossi, who seemed to be restrictive, will concede that you are Yotze, you do fulfill your bracha requirement by the utterance of shehakol, even if it's over bread or wine. So what we saw in this Gemara was an attempt to say that the Machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan follows the Machlokas, is patterned after the Machlokas Rav Yossi and Rabbi Meir. We show you that is not the case. Binyamin Raya, Korach Rifta. Binyamin Raya is a shepherd. He broke bread, the Omar, and after eating the bread, here we're focusing on a Birchas HaMazon situation, he said the following text. Boruch Morei Dahai Pita. Blessed be the master of this bread. Omar Rav Yotza. So Rav says that you have fulfilled your bracha requirement. And we're just emphasizing, as we mentioned, this is a bracha after having eaten the bread. So the Gemara's question here is, V'omar Rav Kol Bracha She'ein Bo Haskoras Hashem Eino Bracha. Any bracha that doesn't have the name of Hashem in it is not a bracha. And what did Binyamin Raya say? It doesn't seem to say that he mentioned the Almighty's name. So the Gemara answers, "Di Omar." Well, what Binyamin Raya said was, "Brich Rachmono More Dahai Piton." Rachmono is an Aramaic expression referring to the Almighty. So he did say in his text the name of the Almighty. The Gemara asks, "V'ha b'inin sholosh brachos?" But we're dealing with an after bracha over bread. So is it not so that you're required to say three brachos on a, from a Torah level? So the Gemara says, you're right. However, my yotza dekoma Rav Nami, the term yotza that Rav used, yotza yidei bracha rishona. He's fulfilled what we call birchas hazon, the first bracha. Hazon es oilom kulo betuvo b'chein b'hesu rachamim, etc. And then we end off bracha to Hashem hazon es hakol. So as far as that Rav is concerned, by saying brich rachmona more the high pita, you have fulfilled that requirement. The Gemara asks, "My Komash Malon, what is Rav revealing to us that we don't already know?" Afagav the Amra b'Loshon Chol, that even though he said it in a language other than Hebrew, Loshon Chol, meaning a common language other than Hebrew. Tanina, well, we already know that from a Mishnah in Maseches Soita, and the Mishnah predating Rav would make Rav redundant on this point. The, that says there, V'elu ne'amorim b'chol Loshon. It says that all of these different passages, if they're recited in any language, and we've dashed underlined what we need, and that's the term Birchas Hamazon, you have fulfilled your requirements. So the question is, what do I learn from Rav's Psak concerning Binyamin Raya that I wouldn't have known already from the Mishnah in Soita? The Gemara answers, Itzterich, I need Rav. I need his Psak. I need his halachic, his legal ruling here. Sa'kadai techamina. Had I had just the Mishnah in Soita, I would have thought, Hani, mili de omra, b'loshon chol, ki echi de tokinu rabbonon, b'loshon kodesh. Essentially, I would have understood from the Mishnah in Soita that if a person translated word for word that which the Rabbonin had established in Loshon Kodesh, had established in Hebrew, then, and only then, is he Yotze, Avalo Omra B'Loshon Chol Ki Hechi D'Tokinu Rabbonin B'Loshon Kodesh, Eim Olo. But if a person didn't utter a literal translation or a word for word translation, then he wouldn't be Yotze. And what Binyamin Raya recited or uttered was not a literal translation of the Hebrew text of Birchas Hamazon, so maybe he wouldn't be Yotzei. Komash Mulan Rav tells me that even without the literal translation of the Hebrew text, you are in fulfillment of your requirement. In this case, your first paragraph of Birchas Hamazon requirement. Gufa. At this point, the Gemara deals with what's necessary for a bracha, textually, what's necessary. So the topic heading that we have on the side reads, bracha tzorach she'ebo, a bracha needs a reference to Hashem, the name of the Almighty, l'kuleam, according to all opinions, and malchus, a reference to the Almighty's being a ruler, a king. That's called malchus. Now that's a machloikis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. And let us now see the Gemara. Gufa. Omar Rav Gufa is a reference to a quote of something that had been mentioned in a passing way before. Now we focus on it. So Omar Rav, kol brocha she'ein bo hazgoras Hashem eino brocha. Any benediction that lacks the mentioning of the name of the Almighty is not a brocha. The Rabbi Yochanan Omar, kol brocha she'ein bo malchus. Rabbi Yochanan is saying if it doesn't have malchus as well. In other words, he agrees that you need to have Hashgoras Hashem, but you need to have a reference to malchus, to kingdom, as well. Eino bracha. If it lacks malchus, it's not a bracha. And malchus is accomplished by the expression when we say Elokeinu Melech Ho'olam. The after saying Baruch Ato Hashem, that's the Hashgoras Hashem. Then Elokeinu Melech Ho'olam. You need each one of those words to fulfill the malchus requirement. So if it lacks that, it's not a brocha. Omar Abaye, Kavose de Rav Mistabra. Abaye says that Rav's opinion is more likely or most likely because Tisanya, there's a brisa that would support Rav's approach. And the brisa is quotes the pasuk dealing with the Havoas Bikurim, and it says, Lo avarti mi mitzvasecha v'lo shochachti, lo avarti mi milavo rechecha, v'lo shochachti mi lahazkir shimcha olav. So I didn't forget to make a brocha, and to mention your name over it, over the, here in this case, we're talking about the, we said Havas Bikurim, but here we're talking about the Vidui Meiser, which includes a special passage that's recited, where he says, I've removed all of the tithes from my house, and I didn't violate your teachings, and you see that this pasuk with the Vidui Meiser is explained, I didn't miss saying a bracha, and Rashi tells you the text of the bracha was a bracha sher kitshon misusavet simon alahafresh truma meiser. So I didn't skip that. I did that. I fulfilled my requirements. Is part of his declaration. And v'lo shochachti milahaskir shimchalov, and that we dashed on the line shimcha to show you that the reference to the name of Hashem is the essential requirement. V'ilu malchus lo katoni, and malchus is not mentioned in what's required for the bracha. Rabbi Yochanan, what's his response to that? He's confronted by this Tanaic source, which poses a problem. So the Rabbi Yochanan says, Tani, read the source as follows, or understand it as follows. V'lo shochachti, the reference in the pasuk to V'lo shochachti, milahazkir shimcha u'malchuscha olav. And we've dashed on in malchuscha, that as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, is also an essential element in a bracha. The Mishnah. The Aldover She'ein Gidulo Min Oretz Omer Sha'kol Nia Bidvaro. Things that do not grow from the ground, the Sha'kol Bracha is recited. The Mishnah proceeds to give examples. Al HaChoymetz Val HaNoivlois V'Al HaGovai Omer Sha'kol Nia Bidvaroi. On Chometz is vinegar, and novlos is a term that the Gemara will deal with extensively. And govai would be a reference to locusts. There exists a realm of locusts, a variety of locusts that's kosher. And so if one prepares them and eats them, so he will say the shakol. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Kol Shumin Klola Ein Mevorchan Olav. Anything that is a variety of food substance that comes as a result of negative circumstances. In other words, even though we're dealing with something that's edible, but it's a min klola. And in fact, that Rabbi Yehuda is probably the reason that the Mishnah gave these examples for Shaha Kol Brachas, because each one of these things, the Chomitz, Novus, and Govai, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Ein Mevorchan Olav, that you don't make a bracha over it. The chometz is a function of wine that went bad, and novlos, as we said, we'll see that a little more about that in the Gemara, and govair, locusts that come when they show up, they're there for destructive purposes, destructive sort of crop-wise, and therefore no bracha. Hoyu lefonav minim harbe. The Mishnah goes on with another halacha. Person is sitting in front of a bowl containing many different types of fruits. And so Rabbi Omer, in Yesh Benem Min Shiva, Olavu Mevorach, if in that bowl of fruits there is a variety of fruit that Israel, the land of Israel, was blessed in, and that's referred to as Min Shiva, and of course he intends to eat from all the different varieties, so he should make his bracha over that one. And the Borei Priya Eitz that he says over that particular fruit will then exempt the rest. The Chachamim are not impressed, let's say, by the presence of Shiva Saminim, and says you'll make your bracha over the one that you want, that you prefer. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that deals with the issue of things that do not grow from the ground, and what bracha. Aldavar She'en Gidulu Min Oretz, Kegoin basar, like meat, and meat in different varieties. Basar behemos, chayos, vofos, behemos are domesticated kosher variety animals, and chayos undomesticated kosher variety animals, and ofos would be birds, vidogim fish, oimer sheakol nia bedvaro. Al hecholov, on milk, al beitzim, on eggs, al gvin, on cheese, omer sheakol. Al hapas sheipsha, this is bread that is moldy, the al yayin shehikrim, or wine that is, we'll just say, going bad. Rashi has a French word for this, but it's a the word hikrim sounds like the word krum. Krum is a film indicating something that's going bad with the wine. The al hatavshil shavar tzuraso, or some type of dish that's whose form is changed in terms of its going bad. Omer shehako. Al hamelach vela zomis, the al kmeinu pitchers omer shehako. On melach is salt, zomis, some explain as salt water, and kmein and pitrios are mushrooms and truffles. One says shehako. The focus of the Gemara in the next couple lines is on that which we've dashed, underlined, the mushrooms and truffles. Lameimra, are we suggesting, the kmein upitrios, lav gidule kakoninu, that they are not classified as gidule kako, growth from the ground, because in the source we just read, we said that if it's ein gidule minarets, then you say a shahakol. And on Kamein and Pitchers, you say Shahakol, indicating the Kamein and Pitchers are in Gidulo Min Aretz. V'hatanya, we have the following Tanaic source that says, Hanoder Miperos Aretz, one who forswears benefiting from fruits of the ground. Osir Beperos Aretz, Umutur Bekamein and Pitchers. Since he mentioned fruits of the ground, so he's banned from eating Peros Aretz, vegetables, and the like, but he is allowed in Kamein and Pitrius. V'im omar kol gidule kakolai. If he uses this expression, and this really is what we have to focus on, and you can see we've used a dashed underline highlighting the expression gidule kaka. He has forsworn benefit from gidule kaka. Osir af the Kamein and Pitrius. He is banning himself, he's forbidding himself from Kamein and Pitrius. So what do you see in this source? That Kamein and Pitrius are considered gidule kaka. This would contradict, then, the classification given to Kamein and Pitrius in the previous Tanaic source, that they're not gidule karka. Omar Abaye. Abaye attempts to resolve this and says, Mirva rovu me'ara, minki lo yanki me'ara. They grow forth from the ground. In other words, Kamein and Pitrius, you can see that they're positioned in terms of their development, they're developing location-wise from the ground. However, minki lo yanki, they don't derive their nutrition, their source of growth, nutrients, is not from the ground. So that's why we're going to be saying a shehakol brocha over them. So according to Abaye, he says, Mirva rovu me'ara. That's an Aramaic expression saying that they are gedelim minoretz. Mirva is to grow. They are gedelim minoretz. The Gemara, and that's how Abaye is describing the Kamein and Pitrius, gedelim minoretz. The Gemara asks, v'ho al dover she'ein gidulo minoretz katoni. But regarding the mushrooms, it said in the Tanaic source, and you can see with our markings how about 6 lines ago we emphasized that source, it says that they are in gidulo min aretz. So that's not what Abaye said. So Abaye answers, Tani, aldover shein yonek min aretz. That source really is saying that which does not derive its nutrition from the ground, you say shehakol, so that even though something physically emerges from the ground, since it doesn't derive its nutrition from the ground, so it will have a shehakol brocha, and that will include then the mushrooms and truffles. The Gemara continues with the topic of noivlois. You can see as we go on in the Gemara, there is a diamond that appears, and we have this under our Mivneh heading. The diamond is featured. Shnei shlovim levarer al eza novlos chokim Rabbi Zerov Reb Ilah. Which novlos? So we're presenting novlos as a general expression for right now. In other words, different things can be included in the term novlos. So we're interested, the Gemara is interested in which novlos are they arguing about. Now, in order to present this, we've used a Roman numeral to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And you see a Roman numeral number 1, and four lines from the bottom of the Gemara, a Roman numeral number 2 appears. So that these are two stages in presenting over which novlos are Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Ilah, who will appear in the Gemara. What are they arguing about? So the Gemara begins, my novlos. The Mishnah has said that on novlos one says shahakol. So what are novlos? Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Ilah, chad omar boishlei kamra, v'chad omar tamri dezika. One says that it's dates that are literally they're burnt by the sun. In other words, the sun had a negative effect, had a burning effect. Maybe we dried them out. They're dried out from the heat of the sun. Those are novlos. And the other opinion says they are dates that in and of themselves they're fine, but they've been blown off the tree. That's tamri dezika. Zika is wind. Tanan, we have a Tanaic source that says Rabbi Yehuda Oimer kol shu min klola ein mevarchen alav, and Rabbi Yehuda was addressing the Tanakama's point, and the Tanakama had mentioned that you say a shehakol over novlos, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying on novlos they are a min klola, they're a type, they're a variety of something that represents curse or destruction or ruination, and therefore no bracha. So Bishlamav Amar Boishle Kamra, according to the opinion that said dried out, their dates that are they're no good, the dates have been dried out by the sun, burnt, scorched by the sun, Hainu de Korile Min Klola. So I can understand how Rabbi Yehuda refers to them the term Min Klola, the accursed variety. El Olaman di Omar Tamri de Zika, dates that were blown off by the wind, and they, as far as the dates themselves are concerned, say they're fine, they're ripe, edible, tasty dates, but they're simply blown off by a wind. So my min klola, what is the term that Rabbi Yehuda uses, min klola? What's the klola about the dates themselves? So the Gemara answers, ah, sha'ora, the min klola expression that Rabbi Yehuda used was referring to the chometz and the govai, the chometz being the vinegar and the govai, the locusts, that those are clearly min klola. Iko di amri, another approach, another loshon, another version of this is iko di ambishlom alamandom or boshle kamra, hainu de mevorchinon olayu shakol. Once again, the Bishlamo, and you can see with our markings how we're maintaining the similar structure of this version to the one just before, that things work out well. That's Bishlamo, Lamandomar, Boshle Kamra, very similar to the Lashon just before, that the Boshle Kamra approach to explaining Novlos is better. Hainu, Dimivorchino, Layo, Shakol, hence the Brocha of the Tanakama. Here we see, by the way, the reflection of why it's good through the eyes of the Tanakama's approach, who said, you say shehakol. Shehakol is a reasonable bracha to say over dates that themselves, as you eat them, you see they've undergone ruination through the drying of the sun. But according to the opinion that explained novlos as being dates blown off by the wind, why is he saying a shakol bracha? They are fruit from the tree. They're regular, wholesome, good-tasting dates. They just happen to have been blown off by the tree. Why would you change the text of the bracha because of that? Ela, benoivloi stamo kule almo loi pligi de boishle kamroninu. If you see the expression novlos without any attached term to it, everyone agrees that it's a reference to the sun-scorched dates. Ki pligi, the machloikis between we saw before in the diamond, Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Ilah, their machlokas concerns benoivlois tamra, the snan. This is a compound expression, and it applies to novlos tamra is the expression over which Rabbi Ilah and Rabbi Zera argue. So at this point in the Gemara, we're basically starting the second Lashon. We put our Roman numeral number 2 a few lines down from here, but it's only because at that point we see Rabbi Ilah and Rabbi Zera again. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, there doesn't seem to be any controversy as to what novlos over which you say shehakolnia bidvaro. That's a case of sun-scorched dates. Rav Ilah and Rabbi Zera, on the other hand, have a machlokes, but their machlokes has nothing to do with our Mishnah. Where does their machlokes surface? In a case where the term novlos tamra is mentioned, the snan. We have a Tanaic source. This source deals with the topic of tithing. There is a concept known as demai. Demai is produce that one buys from an amhoret, someone who is an ignoramus. These are people who don't understand fully the import of the laws of tithing, amongst other things that they don't understand. And as a result, they choose when to tithe and when not to tithe. And as a result, we say that produce you buy from the ignoramus, from the amoretz, you have to tithe on your own. And it's true that the majority of amoratzim tithe, but there is a significant minority that don't. Produce you buy from them is called demai, and you're expected to tithe it. However, there are circumstances where even the amoratzim are assumed to have tithed. They figure, well, it's not a big loss for me. It's not the tithe that I take from certain things isn't going to be of a major loss to me or expense to me. Therefore, like, why not? And in such a case, when you get it from the Amoretz, when you buy these products, you don't have to tithe, because then you can assume under those circumstances the Amoretz will have tithed it. That's what's meant by the term hakalin shebenai kal, meaning that we can be lenient about within the realm of demai. Now, what's included in the kalin shebenai? There's a long list in this Tanaic source. We are, in the context of our Daf Yomi Shir of Gemara markings, we're interested in focusing only on that which is relevant to our discussion, so the rest we will not translate, but just understand that they are very cheap type produce that even the Amoratzim would tithe. Tisnan, Hakalin Shebidnai, includes Hashisin, Varimin, Vozrodin, Benos Shuach, Benos Shikma, Gufnin, Vinatzpa, Vinovlos Tamra. We see a bracketed section of the Gemara. Within the brackets, each one of these items is explained, and we highlight each one with a double underline. But if we skip the brackets for a moment, you'll see we get right to the point of the Gemara. That's Novlos Tamra, and again, the diamond, Rabbi Ilah and Rabbi Zera, they argue as to what Novlos Tamra is, and of course, this is in the context of Kalin Shebedemai. Well, that now that you know the structure, we'll go through the bracketed section. Each one of the items mentioned, the Gemara explains Shisin. What are Shisin? Omar Rabba Barbachan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Min Te'enim. It's a type of Te'enim, and the Bach adds their Te'enim Midborios, their desert figs. Rimin is known as Kandi. I guess not to be confused with candy, but this is a term that was understood by the Gemara. Ho'oz Rodin, Tulshi. Another term understood by the Gemara. Benos Shuach, Omar Rabba Babachana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Te'ene Chivrasa. A type of date, a fig that is, white. Chivrasa literally is a white fig. Benos Shikmo, Omar Rabba, Rabba Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Duvli. Again, a term the Gemara understood. Gufnin are Shili Gufni. This would, Rashi says, Anovim Sisvonios, which in other places is a reference to grapes that don't ever achieve ripeness on the vine. Natspa Pircha. This term we've seen a long time ago in the Sugyas dealing with the tzlaf plant. So Natspa is Pircha, the fruit of the tzlaf plant. Novlos Tamra, and this is really what we're interested in focusing on. Reb Ilov, Reb Izero, Chadamar Boishle Kamra, V'chadamar Tamrei Dezika. Once again, the same achlokas we saw above, either sun-scorched dates or wind-blown dates. Bishlom Amandorma Boishle Kamra, Hainu Dekotoni, Hakalin Shebedmai. According to the opinion that says they are sun-scorched dates, so the term Kalin Shebedmai is appropriate, because in that term, this term incorporates the concept of doubt. Did the Amoretz Mafrish or not? Sveikon hu de potter. So we can say that if you have a doubt about the sun-scorched date, so we say if you're in doubt, then that whether they were tithed or not, so they're exempt. Ha vadol, but the inference is that if they were certainly untithed, then chayav, then you do have to tithe them. Elolaman diomar tamri tzika. But according to the opinion, it says that novlos tamra are the wind blown. The wind blew them off the trees, scattered them. That these are called kalin shebedmai. Part of that term, as we said, implies doubt. And from that we would draw an inference that if there was a certainty that they were not tithed, you would have to tithe them. That wouldn't be true, though, if it was Tamri Dezika. So the Gemara says, according to the Ma'ad Omer, Tamri Dezika, Vadon Chayov, would that be true? That which we inferred, would that be true? If the wind blew them off the trees, they are unknown. The owner of the trees doesn't concern himself with dates that have been scattered tens of feet away because the wind blew them. They're hefker. And hefker does not need, hefker is unowned. That which is unowned, that does not require tithing. So how, according to the Manda Omar, according to the opinion that says Novlos Tamra are the wind-blown dates, how does that fit into this model of Kalin Shebedmai, where if there was certainty that there was no tithing, you would have to tithe it? So he answers, the Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon sha'asa'on goren. Here we're talking about a case where the poor man, or whoever, Rashi says, O Misha Lokdan, whoever collected these windblown dates and made a pile, that a goren is literally a granary, but he made a pile of them. The Omer of Yitzhok, Omer of Yochanan, Mishum Rav Elozer ben Yaakov, Halekah v'shikah peah. These are tithes that poor people take, and in and of themselves, they're exempt from tithing. They're hefker. The leket shikhan peah are, as we say, different types of tithes gathered by the poor. However, she'asa on goren, if the oni, the poor man, collected so much quantity-wise of leket or shikha or peah and made his own pile of them, huk b'u l'meiser, that establishes them on a rabbinic level for meiser, for tithing. Rashi explains halakha shikha peah, the four lines from the end of Rashi, afopi shiptur min ha'meiser, even though they are exempt from meiser. Lokton oni v'asan goren, if a poor man collected a sufficient amount of these tithes and made a pile, hukbu l'maisim midrabbanan, the rabbanan established that they need to be tithed. Why? Demanda chazi, the onlooker, the passerby, sees a large pile of produce in someone's property. Savar shetvuas karkoi, he thinks it's his own. It's a produce that grew from his own ground, and if it did, so on a Torah level, it would need tithing. So since people think it's that, the Rabbana imposed the need to tithe from the from these items, even though from the letter of the law they're actually exempt. So we have, for the meantime, explained the opinion that says Tamri Zika, even that opinion, according to within the heading of Novlos Tamra, that are Kalin Shebidmai. Ika the Amri, the Gemara continues once again with a second Lashon in version number 2. And under Roman number 2 we had an Aleph, and now an Ika the Amri, a second version. Bishlamo Lamanda Omar, and notice structurally for all structure enthusiasts, here you have the first time in the scheme of things that the Gemara opens up with Bishlamo Lamanda Omar Tamri de Zika. Up till now, each time the Gemara was saying things would work out, it was working out according to the opinion of Boshle Kamra. And that you will note in Roman numeral Aleph and Beis. Each time the word Bishlam appeared, you notice we have this dashed underline. And in Roman numeral 1, Aleph and Beis, it was Bishlama, Lamadam or Boshle Kamra each time. And Roman numeral number 2, Aleph, also it was worked out Bishlam, Lamadam or Boshle Kamra. Here is the first time that the Tamrei Zika opinion is going to be smoother. So the Gemara says here at the top of Mem Aleph Omer Aleph, Bishlamo Lamanda Omar Tamrei de Zika. We're talking within the realm of Demai right now. The opinion that says that Novlos Tamra, that's called Kalin Shebidmai, are the wind-blown dates. Hainu Dehocha Kori Lo Novlos. Here meaning in Masechus Brachos, which dealt with the Brach of Shalkol Niedvoro, the term Novlos is used, Stamo, without a compound expression. And how did we explain the Gemara in Brachos? We said the Mishnah, that our Mishnah that said on Novlos, you said Shalkol, everyone agrees that it's the sun scorched dates. So for sun scorched dates, they're called Novlos, Stamo. The Hossam, in the case of Demai, Kori Law Tamra, namely Novlos Tamra. They had a compound expression because they were something really different. They were windblown dates. So that you're dealing with sun-scorched dates, that's called Novlos by itself. Windblown dates, the Mishnah calls them Novlos Tamra, something else, different term. And Lamandom or Boshle Kamra, but according to the opinion that explained in Demai, that the Novlos Tamra are the sun-scorched dates, and in Brachos, we established that that the Brach of Sheakol, that said over Novlos, are sun-scorched dates. Why do these two Mishnayos, the one in Brachos and one in Demai, change the term when both are referring to the same thing, the sun-scorched dates? Nisni idividi Novlos Tamra, or idividi Novlos Stamo. Both should use the same expression, either Novlos Tamra, or use the term Novlos without the compound expression Stamo, by itself. Kashya. So this remains a technical difficulty on the opinion that explained Novlos Tamra as being Boshle Kamra. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.